The motorsports world is where legends are made, the unthinkable happens, and barriers are broken. One man harnesses the power of an industry every week. This is the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor, with Jim Beaver.
What is going on? Welcome to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'm Jim Beaver here. We are locked, loaded. We have an epic one for you today. If you like motorsports of any kind, let me tell you, we are going to blow the roof off this place today, right here for the next 2 hours. We got a very good friend of mine, a partner of mine on the esports side in the Rallycross series, but he is one of the baddest IndyCar drivers on the planet. 3-time pole sitter for the Indy 500. Yes, this is the month of May. Yes, we have practice qualifying going down at Indianapolis, and I have none other than Indianapolis' own Ed Carpenter on the show today, direct from Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So we got Ed Carpenter. Yes, there is one. Then we've got NASCARs going on down there at Circuit of the Americas this week. Yep, that's happening as well. And you know what? It is a road course, and once in a while, road course ringers come in. Well, my good friend Michelle Abate, she is on the show because she's making her NASCAR Trucks debut at the Circuit of the Americas this weekend. Veteran of Circuit of the Americas, making a NASCAR truck debut. Let me tell you, Michelle's got the skills. We are going to see what's going to go on, and she's going to be on the show right here today, hour number two. And then we've got making her debut on this show, a very good friend of mine, my Polaris Razor teammate, who's coming off a massive win at the Baja Nevada race. Maddie Wedeking is on the show, and she's going to be a couple of segments in hour number two as well. So we got Maddie, Michelle, Ed Carpenter, lock loaded, boom. It is all here this week, right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show. I've also got a couple of segments to open up the show here in hour number one. If you are got any fan questions, hit me up over there on the Twitter machine, at JimBeaver15. I know a lot of you like to DM me on the gram, slide into those DMs. You know what? I don't check them when I'm live on air, but I do check them, so those might get cycled into the show next week. But this week, you want those questions answered, hit me up at JimBeaver15 on social media. And just want to give a shout-out to all of our troops overseas that are doing their thing so I can do radio, that are listening on the American Forces Network. Thank you for all you do for our country, as well as all of our listeners on SiriusXM, Sports Byline, and all across the net. Thank you, guys, and we'll be back after this on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high-performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
From the 2018 Master Distillers of the Year comes a bold new American whiskey in Fistful of Bourbon. Their whiskeys have been award-winning for generations. Now they're going all in on bourbon, blending five straight whiskeys to create a big, balanced bourbon that stands apart from everything else. So grab yourself a fistful of bourbon, a blend of five bourbons created with over 100 years of whiskey blending experience. It ain't just a bourbon, it's a damn fistful. Please enjoy responsibly.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCracken, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, kicking things off in an all-killer, no-filler episode of your favorite action motorsports radio show. Myself, it has been a crazy couple of weeks. I know we've had a few re-airs of the show nationally. Those of you online listeners, I know there hasn't been a fresh one in a week or so because, I've been out racing. We've had two races in 2 weeks for me, and it's been kind of crazy. We got this new race car at the beginning of this year, and, man, this thing is just an absolute bullet of a Polaris Razor. And, it's got those General Tires on it, too. We will throw that in there. But, it's just been a whirlwind season. You know, everything we thought we were going to be doing this year, we're not. And we're doing a bunch of events we didn't think we would be doing. And we find ourselves in a points battle for the Unlimited Championship in UTVs in Best in the Desert. We had Silver State 300 2 weeks ago. I think at one point we had the lead on that by a few seconds on corrected time, and then things happened. We ended up blowing a belt and took us out of the running for a win. Ended up battling back to fifth place. Then you move to the Baja Nevada race 2 weeks later. Team went back. We had a complete all-around thrash fest to get this car ready to get all the way to the ground. And when we prep a race car, it's not just like wiping it off and changing the oil. I mean, you got to take it all the way down to the frame. And, and then once you get it down to the frame, you got to replace all the parts, bring it back up, make sure it's all clean, go and test it. We had a week and a half to do this. Normally, this is like a month process. We had to do it in a week and a half. So it was all hands on deck, expedited, get everything ready to go for the race, things like that. And it was an absolute gnarly couple of weeks. We get up there to Baja, Nevada, and this is the longest race in the United States from what I understand, motorsports race. I think you probably got Cannonball Run or something like that. It's longer. I don't know. But 635 miles, something like that, over 2 days. Stage race, kind of rad. You got the lay overnight. So race one day to the finish line. You get a chance to reprep your car, work on it. And you turn around, and the next morning you restart, and you run another leg of the race. So it was like 330 miles one day and like 305 miles the next day, something like that. It was a long, long race. We ended up at one point on day number one, I believe we had a 28-minute lead over the next car. Thinking we'd have it in the bag, we ended up having a few four-wheel drive electrical issues. Ended up finishing that day in, I think, third spot, and we were like an hour and 45 minutes down. Day two, we thought we had things fixed. The little electrical gremlin came back, caused us to run in two-wheel drive most of the day. We had to get it to the finish line. We got most of our time back except for like 15 minutes, 20 minutes, something like that, somewhere in that ballpark. Don't hold me to it. But anyways, ended up second at Baja, Nevada. So a great run. Stoked to be on the podium. Running almost, 650 miles. It's a long, grueling race. This Polaris Razor was on point. That has been my last 2 weeks. That is why you have been hearing my voice online nationally. Yes, you have been hearing it, but we've been running those races. Stoked to have Maddie Wedeking on the show this week. She won the naturally aspirated class. I run an unlimited. She runs in the NA class. In her 1000 Polaris Razor, and she ended up taking the victory in that class, and we're going to talk more about Baja Nevada with her on the show, mainly because she just walked away as a big winner, right? So, yeah, that's going on. In addition to that, it's just been It's been madness on my end. I mean, in the motorsports world, there has been as well. I think in the next segment, I've had a lot of you want me to talk about the Monaco Grand Prix, some X Games rumors, stuff like that. So we're definitely going to dive into that talk as well. But man, it has been it's been kind of a crazy 2021. I know things started out slow out of the gate. We were kind of feeling that COVID hangover, that lingering COVID. And I feel like in the last 2 weeks, we've literally just been able to blow the roof off of things. Motorsports is by and large kind of getting back to normal. All the events I've been at, I mean, if spectators are starting to come back, people are starting to come back, a lot of mask requirements are starting to be removed. It is definitely all in a positive direction. I know last 2 weeks, nationwide, CDC announced, if you've been vaccinated, you don't have to wear your mask, things like that. And I got to tell you, as a 2021 that we thought was going to move slow, things like the Mint 400 got delayed till later in the year, Long Beach Grand Prix delayed till later in the year. I know NHRA, they've been juggling their schedule around as well. That got delayed till later in the year. I mean, King of the Hammers rumored it wasn't going to happen and ended up happening. So there has been a lot, so you start the year with that. You think, ah, man, we're in for another 2020, right? This thing's going to be a drag. And then boom, 2021 comes out swinging, firing on all cylinders. About the springtime, I think we really started hitting our stride. And I got to tell you, I am excited for the rest of the year. I'm looking at the fall, though. All these events that were taken from the spring and moved to the fall. Man, have you looked at the fall calendar? I don't care if you're talking off-road. I don't care if you're talking trade shows. I don't care if you're talking IndyCar, NASCAR, NHRA. It is going to be a rowdy fall. I mean, I feel like August things start ramping up, and you hit the 1st of September and Labor Day weekend, it is like gas on, game on. It is going to be one wild 2021 this fall. I'm looking at my schedule going, I'm on the road about every single weekend. I think most everybody in motorsports is. We've also got Nitro Rallycross kicking off. We haven't even talked about that. That's kicking off. Their entire season is in the fall. I'm like, man, how is everybody going to manage to get all of this happen in the fall? If you are a motorsports fan or an action motorsports fan, it's going to be nuts, with a capital N, nuts. I don't even know how to put it, but for those of us who kind of drudged through 2020, a guy like me who saw his frequent flyer miles, thankfully American Airlines, I've got status, I don't know what it was, elite status, and nobody flew last year, right? So everybody was going to lose their elite status. They go, all right, we're just going to let you to continue to have your elite status for one more year, and then in 2021, if you do enough flying, we will give you that, you'll continue to retain it. Thankfully, I didn't lose it, because I should have, because I didn't fly at all last year. But, this year, I was looking at the start of the year going, I'm going to lose this. And I get free bags, free upgrades, all kinds of free stuff. And I'm like, man, I really didn't want to lose that. I was like, I'm going to lose it. Now, all of a sudden, looking, I'm like, no way I'm losing this thing. My 2021 is going to be nuts. I've been talking with a lot of brands. Most companies in motorsports, retail companies, parts companies, tire, wheel, oil, exhaust, whoever you're talking about, they've absolutely had banner years. I know consumables, I mean, computers, action sports, skateboards are sold out everywhere, BMX bikes, frames. I mean, I've been trying to buy a new S&M 22-inch frame, and it's been like pulling teeth for the last year. I finally was able to get it. But, everybody's been killing it. Everybody's been slaying it. And, for what we thought was going to be doom and gloom and dark, and don't get me wrong, I mean, this whole COVID thing was a real deal, and there's some people lost their lives and some people that got really, really sick. But, man, you want to talk about a shot in the arm. I mean, look at real estate. Look at the car industry. I mean, things are just absolutely nutty. And if you're a motorsports fan, this is good. Brands got money to spend on sponsorship. The auto manufacturers got money. The tire companies got money. Like, this is a great thing for motorsports. Not only that, but people were consuming content like crazy last year because that was all there was to do. So, now people that have, that have come out of this, they've been sitting at home for a year. Now everybody wants to go to the racetrack. They want to go to events. They want to go to concerts. Man, I don't even know what to say other than, I know we're in a bit of a bubble, but if this bubble doesn't burst and we can ride this roller coaster, even if it does burst, continue to push on. I don't know if it's going to be as bad a burst as we saw in 2008. Like, man, the motorsports industry, racing, race fans, the auto industry, everything about power sports, action sports, man, we are sitting in such an amazing position right now that we haven't been in so long. I mean, look at the Indy 500. It almost didn't happen last year. Every year it's a struggle to get a 33 car field. Here we are this year. We've got over 33. We've got 35. We're bumping cars for the first time in a long time. I don't want to say in a long time, but I mean, we got more entries than they know what to do with for an event that they didn't even think was going to happen last year. So, man, it is definitely good to be in the racing business. It's definitely good to be in the motorsports business. And if you're a radio host and a TV personality like me, you're not complaining either. So, great stuff. We got another segment. Once again, you got questions for me. You want me to chime in on something in the next segment? You got a question for one of our guests? Hit me up on Twitter at JimBeaver15. I would love to. Talk to you. I'd love to get your questions answered on the show. So definitely hit me up. Keep me in the loop on what you want talked about on the show, and we will get those in the upcoming segments. With that, I am going to take a short commercial break. I know next segment we definitely are talking Monaco Grand Prix and X Games and probably a whole hell of a lot more. So, we'll be back after this right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP Advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at GSPXTV.com today.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Yes, it is the month of May, and I gotta be 100% honest with you. I'm recording this radio show, and I got this big 65-inch television here in the radio studio, and we use it for various things. But right now, it is tuned in to watch the IndyCar practice. This is a Fast Friday. This is where they crank up the boost, and they unleash these cars. Right now, Scott Dixon is up front, 230 miles an hour. And his Ganassi teammate, Tony Kanaan, is at 230, just a hair shy of Dixon as well. So I'm looking at this, and you got to talk about Tony Kanaan. This guy, you know, went to Foyt. A lot of people say, there's a lot of veterans that go there kind of towards the way out of their career. AJ does a great job with drivers and keeping their careers alive. And Tony, man, back with Ganassi, things open up there, and talk about a swan song for him. Got a real good chance to win some races in the Indy 500 in his last year of his career, or one of the last years of his career. So, great to see him up front. But I'm watching this. I've been glued to it all week. And one thing you can say is, you know, NBC Sports, they've had some struggles. Sounds like it's going away. I know Supercross moved to Peacock. IndyCar is, and they're doing a phenomenal job with the month of May. So if you don't have, and the Peacock app's free, I think that you can upgrade, you know, and I've got the upgraded premium, I think it's like $9 a month, something like that, but got that just basically for Supercross and as well as IndyCar. And I gotta say, they got WWE Network there, so yeah, a lot of reasons for me to have Peacock. But anyways, I don't even know why we got on this, but I am currently watching IndyCar practice as I record this. So if all of a sudden I pause or I say something crazy, just know what's going on a 65-inch TV. I'm looking at my radio monitor, which is 27. I got a 65-inch monitor over here with IndyCar, so it's like I got monitors for days going on right now in the studio. And definitely the opportunity to get sidetracked with IndyCar going on. But I will say this is a weird year for me because normally I am here at Indianapolis Motor Speedway with all this going on. I love the month of May. I love Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I didn't go last year because of COVID. They moved it to, August it was. And this year, you know, obviously I'm not back there because mainly I race Baja, Nevada, and had that going on. So I don't know what to say, but it's weird. 2 years in a row, I'm not at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and I can promise you I absolutely 100% will be next year. But that being said, we do have a big, heavy IndyCar show this week and next week, and we'll probably splice them all together in Project Action. So a lot of you fans love our Indy shows, and trust me, we are definitely having our Indy shows. So all that happening, we've also got one of the biggest open wheel races of the year happening this weekend, which is weird. Normally, the biggest day in motorsports is Memorial Day weekend, that Sunday. You've got the Monaco Grand Prix, the Indy 500, and then you turn around and you have the Coca-Cola 600. This year, Monaco Grand Prix moved the weekend before. No idea why, but they did. They broke with tradition. I hate it, to be honest with you, but the Monaco Grand Prix is happening this weekend. I am going to be tuned in on Sunday. Those of you tuning in on Sunday on SiriusXM, yeah, race has probably already passed. I'm recording this on a Friday, though, and it has not. And I've been reading a lot on the Monaco Grand Prix. A lot of you may be tuning in for off-road content, stuff like that. We'll get to that later, but this show I get to talk about whatever the hell I want to talk about. Right now we're talking about Monaco. I don't talk a lot about Formula One on the show. Chris and I do when we get to Power Rankings, but today I want to talk about Monaco Grand Prix. I, ever since I was a kid and wasn't even a Formula One fan when I was a kid, I watched this. This, to me, is, along with the Indy 500 and Baja 1000, and I'll throw Crannon in there, Daytona 500, Le Mans, the 24 Hours of Daytona, we'll throw that in there. I mean, there's a few events that are just iconic. You don't change them. Monaco is the crown jewel of the Formula One calendar. Been a lot of talk about drivers hating this track. Well, nobody hates it, but as a fan, this is one you want to go to. This is absolutely one you want to go to as a fan. You know, you've got yachts, you've got you know everything that there is about Monaco, and you definitely want to go to this one. You know, and as a driver, this is one you want to win. So I'm looking at this thing, and you know, and the biggest problem is this is basically a time capsule race. This is the same track they ran 50, 60 years ago. And because Monaco's grown up around it, there's not a lot you can do to change it, right? I mean, it's through the streets of Monaco. It's kind of like the Long Beach Grand Prix. Unless you break with full tradition and take it and transplant the track someplace else, you can't really change the layout of it. Well, Formula One cars are infinitely bigger than they used to be. So it's made the racing not as good. Qualifying becomes the race. You know, in the race, it becomes a lot of follow the leader. Overtaking, you know, passing is tough. It's tough in Formula One. It's got better. Monaco, it's damn near impossible. So with all that being said, you know, you got the Monaco Grand Prix going on. And, you know, there's rumors that they want to change it. I'm like, don't. You've got all these other amazing events on the Formula One calendar. Leave Monaco the way it is. Leave it is that just staple event that is just different. It's the only true street course left on the Formula One calendar. I know obviously Miami is going to be a street course as well, but I'm like, just make it different. Leave it different. It's okay to be different. We don't need another cookie cutter. You know, if qualifying is the race, that's fine. You know, if you win on lead on, you get the pole in qualifying at Monaco, you got a real good shot to win the race because it's going to be really hard to get around you if you're, you know, even somewhat remotely competently quick. Pit stops become, you know, key. You know, staying out of the wall. Like, Monaco is special. It's different. It's different than anything else on the Formula One calendar. Like, why change that? I don't get they're talking about, well, we'll make people run like the same tires the entire race. Maybe we'll change the track a little bit. We'll make qualifying different. Like, just leave it. Why? It's been this way forever. It's iconic. It'd be like, oh, Indy 500 is boring. Let's shorten it to the Indy 250. Why? It is what it is for a reason. It's been there. It's a time capsule. Make it the same. Leave it the same. It's still, you know, if a driver wants to win at Monaco, it's special. Like, I don't understand why you would change that. I don't get it. You know, you don't change greatness. Monaco is greatness. Change any other event on the Formula One calendar, nobody's going to care. Monaco, I care. Fans care. People care. I tune into Monaco to see the backdrop, to see all the people, to see the yachts, to see the harbor there, you know, like to see the streets and then wind through. Like, it's so awesome. Like, I don't care if there's not as much passing at this race. I wanted it at others, but this one, no, not so much. Like, I don't know. I'm pissed that they even changed the weekend. You know, they changed the weekend and I'm pissed. Don't change the race. So, I don't know. I would love to hear what you guys think about the Monaco Grand Prix. I'm going to be tuned in. This is the one Formula One race every year I do not miss. Never miss this one. That says something. I'll miss the U.S. Grand Prix on TV. Don't care. Monaco Grand Prix, will not miss it. I'll get up at 3 a.m. in the morning if I have to watch this damn thing. Like, I do not miss Monaco ever. I don't want to watch it on record. I want to watch the damn race, period. Hands down, end of story. I want to watch the race. So, yeah, Monaco Grand Prix this weekend. Weirdly enough, not on Memorial Weekend, but I will be tuned in this Sunday, regardless of how early I have to get up. Yeah, I may may have to have a stiff drink that early in the morning, but to wake myself up. But we will be tuned in to the Monaco Grand Prix Sunday. So I want to know who else will. Hit me up at JimBeaver15. Let me know. So Monaco happening this weekend. We haven't really caught up on a lot of news, results, rumors, things like that. I do want to give a shout out though. My buddy Harley Lettner, grew up with Harley Lettner. He's become one of the baddest trophy truck off-road drivers on the planet. He just won again at Baja Nevada. These guys are undefeated in 2021, and I gotta say they are just on a tear. I gotta give a shout out to my boy Harley. So proud of him. If you know his background and everything else, like, this kid is, you know, he's on top of the world right now with his racecraft, and they are just absolutely slaying people, and they deserve it, man. This team has put in a ton of work, so just want to give a shout out to my boy Harley before we switch gears. We'll definitely talk about Baja Nevada and some of the results later on. But X Games, if you search the internet right now on 2021 X Games, you're not going to see anything. You're going to see Aspen, Colorado, Winter X Games. You're not going to hear anything about summer. It is moving away from Minnesota. That is known. And it's going to be where is X Games going to end up? It's for sale currently. Yeah, it's for sale. The entire X Games property, I've heard like $50 million they're asking for X Games, right? The naming rights, the events, the whole works. You can own X Games for like $50 million. Do I think it's worth it? No. That's a tough sell. But you can own X Games, but it's still got to continue on. Everybody's been wondering, where's it going to go? It's moving away from Minnesota. They had their run. Unfortunately, one of those years was COVID, but they had their run, right? Where's it going to go? I am hearing rumors. You can't see it online, but I am in some private action sports groups on Facebook. Rumor has it that X Games 2021 is going to end up back in San Diego. Not San Diego like we saw. I'm here in North County, San Diego, which to me is interesting. North County, San Diego, that's very close to Tony Hawk, Brian Deegan. A lot of these legends live in North, you know, around North, in North County or around North County or within that vicinity, even if they're not technically in North County. You know, Tony Hawk, you know, you got Temecula, Escondido, Lake Elsinore, like that, you know, and obviously some of those aren't in North County, but I'm just looking at it going, man, this is interesting. San Diego, to me, was probably some of the best X Games ever were held in San Diego. This is, you know, San Diego's definitely legit OG action sports. I'm hearing rumors. I don't know if that's 100% for sure the case, but, to me, I'm kind of excited about that. So, we'll see what happens, but those are the rumors I'm getting. You can't find them online, but if I hear more, I will let you guys know. But it has been a hot button topic on the show. Where is X Games headed? And that is what I'm hearing right now with no, you know, it's not substantiated, but I'm hearing that, and I got to think there could be some truth to it, and it would be a very smart decision on behalf of X Games if, in fact, they do choose to have it anywhere in the San Diego area, North County or regular San Diego. Anyways, we're going to take a short break. Ed Carpenter on the show after this on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host a Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands-down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome my good friend Ed Carpenter to the show. Ed, month of May, Indy 500, and I guess first off, you guys have had some good success so far in practice. We'll talk about that in a minute, but how's it feel like to be running the Indy 500 in May again? I know last year, it was a little bit of an odd year, but it's got to feel good for you to be actually back in May in your hometown at Indy.
It's awesome. You know, doing this last year in August with no fans here, nobody here, was pretty depressing. You know, showing up for opening day and having fans waiting at the garages to get some autographs signed from the past couple of years where they – you know, weren't around. It was an amazing feeling for us and I think for them. So excited to be back going again. It's been a good start to the week so far for all three of our cars. So just trying to keep it rolling.
Yeah. You know, and how is it, especially this year, you know, that you got a little bit, you know, last year it was the same way, but there's more races at IMS. I mean, obviously I've been there and your shop is literally, I mean, about as close to IMS as you can possibly be. I mean, how is this for you having, you know, being in your hometown track, having a couple more races? I mean, obviously it makes some of the travel costs and things like that a little bit easier on the program, but, you know, how is it having events that close to home and knowing that the shop's right there in case something does, you know, happen that's not exactly ideal?
I mean, it's awesome. You know, for the most part, we don't really need to go back to the shop. Even years where we've been in an unfortunate situation of crashing a car, we pretty much bring everything here to the speedway that we need to handle just about anything. But, you know, growing up here, I've lived in Indy since I was 8 years old, and the local support that I get from the community, you know, it's a boost for sure. You know, I think I've always felt it, but it came more apparent now after not having anyone here last year, just having people around that you've gotten to know over the years, or people that we know, my kids go to school with, or that I grew up with, being at the track, like it lifts you up, especially on bad days, more than what I probably realized until I was here without that kind of support last August.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about Indy so far this year, because obviously you've got a couple practices in the bag, and as expected, you guys are up front. I mean, we got Daly in second. You're in the third spot. We got Renus just outside of the top 10 in the 11th spot. I mean, a few practices in, you guys got to be feeling pretty good about things.
Yeah, the timesheets are somewhat irrelevant at this stage, because all those times are coming up with big drafts, which we don't really even get in the race as much as we do in practice, and qualifying is a whole different beast. So it's, you know, I think we've looked pretty good. We've looked good on the speed charts. I think we've looked pretty good on the no-toe charts as well, which is more pertinent for qualifying. We kind of filter out, you know, anything within 10 seconds of another car. So we're off to a good start. I think for me, more so than anything, you know, things have kind of stayed on script so far, which to me is a good indicator of how things are going, just because it's our plan is working. The off season work seems accurate. We're not searching for something different than what we had expected coming in. So to me, that's probably the most positive thing, is that we've been able to stick to the plan for the most part, and all three of us are feeling relatively confident and happy with our cars, and just trying to get better each day as we head towards May 30th.
Well, and you know, that being said, this early on, obviously, you know, you guys, a lot of traffic, things like that, you know, like you said, even though there's traffic, doesn't necessarily even simulate race conditions because there's so much draft. But, you know, as you guys start looking towards this weekend and qualifying, things like that, when do you switch gears and kind of, you know, go from, you know, it seems like you're working a little bit on race setups. I mean, transition into really fine tuning things for qualifying and that this weekend.
Yeah, so it really starts tomorrow. So for qualifying here at Indy, and it starts tomorrow on Fast Friday. Yeah, that's tomorrow. I had to check my calendar. It's confusing out here. So starting tomorrow, they bump the boost pressure up on the engines, their turbocharged engines. So it's really somewhat not worthwhile chasing qualifying too much until then, because we're just going slower. But today, and you saw some people doing it yesterday, you know, we'll go through some trim steps today just to get aero balances and make sure we are where we want to be when we run the car in different configurations for qualifying. But at the end of the day, you know, 90% of the focus today is still going to be on the race. You know, for me, you know, after today, we'll have a little bit of practice on Sunday and then carb day before the race. So for me personally, I really like to go to bed at the end of today feeling like we have our race car, you know, 90-95% where we're going to have it for the race. So we need to answer our final questions for race setup today. We'll dabble with a few trims just to get some reads and balances for tomorrow. But then once we get to tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and the first part of Sunday, you know, we'll exclusively be thinking about qualifying. We won't be doing any race running. So That's kind of how we approach it, and I think how most teams approach it.
Yeah, well, and obviously, you guys, your approach has worked out. You've got three poles yourself. I mean, you know, I guess look at it qualifying for Indy, it'd be, you know, an Ed Carpenter Racing, it'd kind of be like looking at the Yankees in the playoffs. You just don't bet against you guys. That being said, man, I mean, you know, looking at things, what's the goal in qualifying? Obviously, just get as many cars into the Fast Nine as you can, and then go from there, roll the dice.
Yeah, for sure. The goal is to get all three of our cars in the Fast Nine. And once you get to that point, then you've got a 1-9 shot at being on the pole. So you know, dream come true would be we all get in the fast nine and we lock out the front row. And, you know, it's with this package, it's still difficult to pass around here. Track position is important, even though it's a 500-mile race. So, you know, the more ECR cars we can have up there at the front, the more Chevrolets we can have up there at the front, we'll be able to work together and try to control the race. So, you know, at different times in my career, it didn't really matter if you started 15th. But, you know, nowadays it's a pretty big advantage to start up there in the first three rows. So that's 100% one of our goals.
Yeah, what are you thinking we're going to see, you know, come this weekend qualifying? You know, everybody always wants to, you know, guess on the speeds. What do you think we're going to see speed-wise for qualifying this year?
Oh, man, it's always such a hard one. It's going to be hot for qualifying. So, you know, I think you might see a 32, but probably 231, I would imagine, would be kind of the high end. But the speedway is so weather dependent, track temperature dependent, wind dependent. You know, it can change everything, you know, minute by minute. So it really just depends on what the weather is to determine. You know, I think you could have a pole winning car and maybe qualify ninth or tenth if you get a bad draw on the first go at it. So it's a tough one to predict. I honestly haven't even really looked at what I think we're capable of yet. Just have been so laser focused on the race setup.
Well, you know, I want to talk you guys made some big news a couple of weeks ago. In the world of sponsorship, it's very rare that really something turns heads, but you guys were able to bring in Bitcoin as a partner on Renus's car. Let's talk a little bit about how that got put together. I think this is kind of quite interesting, and I do want to confirm they did in fact pay you in Bitcoin, correct?
Well, so yes and no is the answer to that. If probably the best resource to send your listeners, if you Google Jack Mallers, Mallers, Medium, he wrote a blog post that probably is the best description and most concise way of understanding it. But the beauty of Bitcoin is no one owns it. It's not trademarked. Yeah. We can put it on the car and no one's gonna sue us. It's not like if we decided we wanted to run a Coca-Cola car.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we have to have their approval. So we partnered with Jack Mallers. He's got a company called Strike. And, you know, for those that don't understand Bitcoin, you know, there's an asset of Bitcoin, a store value currency. There's also a network built on top of it that allows, you know, everyone to interact with the currency. And so Jack's company, Strike, and Jack personally have done a ton for the Bitcoin network. And essentially, what we're trying to do is promote that Bitcoin network, support the Bitcoin community. You know, I'm a Bitcoiner personally, have been for a while. So it's something that I care about, think it's important to the world.
Yeah.
And so what we're doing is basically, it's a crowdfunding effort. You know, we're obviously trying to cover our costs with the race team. But essentially 70% of all money that comes in through donations, which can be in Bitcoin, cash, any form of fiat, however you want to donate. So there's three accounts. One's all Bitcoin, others are cash. And then we split that up, and the money that's going away from us is 70% of the money coming in is going to support open source development, Bitcoin developers doing great things on the network. So it's a really cool way for us to educate, you know, the more mainstream folks that don't know much about it, all the same time, supporting, you know, the people that have really built the network from something no one's known about that's becoming a pretty trendy topic. So it's a ton of fun. It's something that I personally care a lot about, and to be able to integrate it into my business. And through Jack's company, Strike, you know, we have the ability to pay some of our people in Bitcoin if they want paid that way. So the world's changing, and we want to be at the tip of the spear and be a trendsetter. So that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that being said, I also, you know, own quite a bit of Bitcoin, and, you know, I've for about 4 or 5 years, I've kind of been invested there, but I think The interesting thing that you said about this is kind of being a, you know, right at the forefront of this new movement. I'm looking at how you structured this deal, though, and I think just by and large, you know, you're going to see more creative ways of bringing in partners into motorsports and, say, IndyCar like this, where it's not a traditional type sponsorship that you would have saw 10 years ago. And I think, you know, what you're doing and the way this deal is structured is something kind of new and really kind of pushing the envelope on the way partnership deals can be structured in the future.
Absolutely. I mean, for as competitive as IndyCar is on track, you know, we've got 5 different winners so far this season. And it's equally as competitive off the track, you know, chasing down partners and sponsorship and what it takes to for us to put cars on track. So for us, there was a certain level of risk to it, but at the same time, we see a huge upside and doing something different and kind of trying to redefine our business model and how we operate.
Well, Ed, it is, the month of May in Indianapolis, man. Good luck this weekend at qualifying. Appreciate you taking the time to call into the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's always good to talk.
And you kind of love doing an interview like that when there's all kinds of rad background noise. And Ed Carpenter on site at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And I did that earlier today. I'm looking at it looks like he's just a hair out of the top 10 right now, sitting in the 12th position on Fast Friday with the boost cranked up. It's obviously early in the day. There's still 5 hours left in this session. So we'll see if Ed continue up the charts. But we got qualifying this weekend, and you know Ed Carpenter is going to be a force to be reckoned with, as well as Connor Daly and the rest of the ECR Racing team. Man, those guys, like I said before, you don't bet against Ed Carpenter at the Indy 500. It's like betting against the Yankees in the playoffs, especially when it comes to pole day. 3-time pole sitter. Guy's been on the front row more often than not. And I got to tell you, though, Connor Daly, good friend of our show. He's been on here, countless times at this point. Good friend of mine, and he is just on rails this year at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You want to talk about a guy with a chip on his shoulder, a guy that I absolutely always love to watch because he's just always on it. Connor Daly, he's having a great run, and what a Cinderella story that would be if he could put his car on the front row. But we got a lot more to come, though. We are going to come back after this short commercial break. We'll be wrapping up hour number one, and then we got a massive hour number two. Matty Wedeking and Michelle Abate on the show. So all that to come right here on the General Tire Down a Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
From the 2018 Master Distillers of the Year comes a bold new American whiskey in Fistful of Bourbon. Their whiskeys have been award-winning for generations. Now they're going all in on bourbon, blending 5 straight whiskeys to create a big, balanced bourbon that stands apart from everything else. So grab yourself a Fistful of Bourbon, a blend of 5 bourbons created with over 100 years of whiskey blending experience. It ain't just a bourbon, it's a damn fistful. Please enjoy responsibly.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Well, 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 that was enough for hour number one right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. But good news for you, we are still cranking, we are still firing. We got hour number two coming up. Hour number two, good friend of mine, my Polaris Razor teammate, Matty Wedeking. She is going to be on the show talking about her massive Baja Nevada win and being a rad girl who drives Razors for a living. And then we've also got my good friend Michelle Abate, who is heading to Circuit of the Americas this weekend and racing in the NASCAR series. Super, super stoked to have both of them on in hour number two. Let me tell you, it is about to get real right here on the show. Got any questions for our guests? Hit me up at JimBeaver15 on the social media machine. And I would say right now is probably an opportune time because we got a commercial break coming up. Just let the show run. Head over to the cabinet. Grab a bottle, a fistful of bourbon. Drop a couple ice cubes in there. Pour yourself a little bourbon and then come back because, trust me, hour number two, it is going to be entertaining. And if you're like me, you got IndyCar, you got Indy 500, depending on what day, you got qualifying, Fast Friday. I don't know what you got on, but you got that. You got your fistful of bourbon. Trust me, you are on point. You are locked. You are loaded. You are ready to go. And that is the way I would be listening to the show this week. There is no better way to take the show in than with a little fistful of bourbon in your hand. Trust me. Anyways, that being said, I guess I'm going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, it will be hour number two. Matty Weddy King as well as Michelle Abate on the line on your favorite motorsports radio show that is called the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. We'll be back right after this.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story. For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online, in syndication on networks across the U.S., and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, I should say. Yeah, it is hour number two. Matty Weddy King and Michelle Abate are going to be my guests here in hour number two, firing things up. But you know what? Right now, we got to jump into a Dirtfish Rally Report brought to you by our good friends at Dirtfish Rally School. Find out more information on the web at www.dirtfish.com. Use the code JimBeaver15. That'll get you 15% off all classes there at Dirtfish. And, you know, Dirtfish has transitioned, as you guys know. Not only are they a rally school, one of the best in the world, but they are also one of the best sources of rally news in the world as well. Right now, they have a little information coming up on Rally Portugal, kind of some live coverage on the show, as well as in the next week, they've got the Ocean X Prix from Extreme E. So you're looking for rally content right now, Rally Portugal, that's your source for news. And then we've got the Ocean X Prix from Extreme E coming up here next week as well. So lots of great news, lots of great content from our friends at Dirtfish Rally School. A couple of the headlines right now they've got, looks like Evans has moved up to second place by a penalty there at Rally Portugal. Tonic won a super special six. Yes, all the coverage there is happening at dirtfish.com. You can also buy some rad swag as well as sign up for some classes. And, you know, you want to do that, once again, use that code JimBeaver15, and that will get you 15% off all classes at www.dirtfish.com. Big thanks to their support. I was up there a couple of weeks ago with Mia Chapman, Street Bike Tommy, my good friend Tim Montana, who was one of my guests on Project Action last week, my good friend Leah Bauer, Brittany Cardone, a bunch of great people, and we had a hell of a lot of fun up there at Dirtfish Rally School. I love taking my friends up there. One of my favorite things to do. If you have any itch to go up to Dirtfish, hit me up on social media at JimBeaver15. DM me on any of them. I will love to talk to you about it, give you some ideas, suggestions on classes, and I can, you know, hook you up directly and get you that discount to go to Dirtfish as well. But if you are a race car driver of any sort, especially off-road or rally, but if you're any type of race car driver, Dirtfish can definitely benefit you. World-class instructors, world-class facility, world-class fun right there at Dirtfish. Anyways, we're going to take a short commercial break. Matty Wedeking up right after this, right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com, or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go, so let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
From the 2018 Master Distillers of the Year comes a bold new American whiskey in Fistful of Bourbon. Their whiskeys have been award-winning for generations. Now they're going all in on bourbon, blending five straight whiskeys to create a big, balanced bourbon that stands apart from everything else. So grab yourself a Fistful of Bourbon, a blend of five bourbons created with over 100 years of whiskey blending experience. It ain't just a bourbon, it's a damn fistful. Please enjoy responsibly.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome my Polaris Razor teammate, Miss Matty Wedeking, to the show. What is happening, Matty?
Not a whole lot. You know, just got back from the gym. Now I'm working on school and about to go prep the car.
Yeah, you're walking around as Queen of Baja Nevada. I can say that, right?
Yes, that's awesome.
So, yeah, let's talk a little bit about this race. We got a lot to talk about. I want to talk about your career and your family. We got a whole lot of directions, but let's talk about this race because this was a fun one. I raced it. You know, I ended up on the podium as well. Not quite the step that you got, but this was an interesting race. How did you enjoy it? I love that layover where, you know, the team was able to reprep the car for day two. Like, this was kind of a bit of an adventure, but it was probably one of the most fun races I've done in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, leading up to the race, I was pretty nervous. I mean, 630 miles, this would have been the longest race I've ever done. So I was a little nervous, but once I got there and that two-day format that they did and the course, it was just amazing. I loved it. The different terrain we saw both days. I mean, the first day, the first, you know, what was that, 333 miles was pure stilt. I mean, I out of the 300 miles, I really only saw clear air for, I would say, 10 to 15 miles. So the first day was just insane, silty, dusty, hot. And then the second day, did you get caught in that rainstorm too?
Yeah, definitely got rained on in day two. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I felt like I was driving by Braille because that was, it was such a gnarly rainstorm that we had to go across.
Yeah, and then so there was the one, and I laugh because Brittany and I get to this crossing, and we're like, okay, and it was like pick your poison, and we go through it, and we didn't realize the mud hole was like 3 foot deep because it didn't look 3 foot deep, but the car goes through, and we pop out the other side, and we go, oh, that wasn't mud, and it was a bunch of cow crap, and we started stinking. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I don't know, did you end up going through that or maybe I just picked the wrong side of it?
Think you picked the wrong line, dude. I went in right through the mud. I just went into the center. I just got back from the high lifter event called Mud Nationals down in Arkansas. So I was totally like, I saw that mud hole and I'm like, I know how to take this. Rachel and Scott taught me how to drive through this. I know what to do. So I went through the deepest part because it was the most fun.
Made for good pictures though, right? We all got great pictures out of it.
Yeah, the gram is loving the mud pictures.
Yeah, exactly. That's I'm just going to save mine because everybody's posting them. And then next year I'll just pretend like I'm at Mud Nats if I don't get to go, and we'll just drop them in or something.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, there was a couple gotchas. Like there was one coming in, was it day one? I think it might have been day one, and it was right before the pit, and it wasn't marked in my team radios, and they're like, right before you get to the pit, there's a ditch, you need to slow down for it. And I was like, all right, so we slow down, and there was mud in it, and I get to it, and we roll through it, and I was like, holy crap, it's like a three-foot hole. I was like, you guys could have told me it's like a canyon, and it wasn't even marked, but I guess a couple of people just ruined their day on it, but it was right before one of the pits, and I can't remember, but I know it was on day one.
Yeah, no, I remember that. Luckily, my team radioed me as well, like, hey, everyone's hitting this way hard, just check up, you know, however many yards from the pit entrance. So I was like, oh, okay, that's weird. Normally, they would have a danger sign up. No, I kind of checked up, but not as much. And yeah, the car was hurting.
Yeah. So you are two for two with podiums this year, you know, in Legacy, correct? I mean, let's talk about a little bit about this year, because obviously you're a factory Polaris racer. I know, I feel like this is kind of your breakout year. I mean, people have known about you for a while, but I feel like you're putting it all together. I know you got that new car this year that we know is wicked fast. And you know, how are you feeling about this year?
So, you know, I've been racing for quite a few years now in a two-seat car, and I just feel like the two-seat car never really let me drive to my potential. You know, I always had to check up for things that I shouldn't be. It was really tall. It was such a tall car that it was so top-heavy. Whenever I put it into a corner, it just wanted to roll. And ever since I got this new car this year, I mean, it's on rails. I can drive it, you know, to my full potential, if not more. And I've never driven any car like the one I have. It's my first time ever driving a four-seater in general. So just learning the difference between a two-seat and a four-seat car is new to me this year. I'm still learning what I can and can't do. So we started off the first race this year in Pahrump. We were in first all day, and then the last 10 miles I made a driver error and actually got a flat. So we took second that race. But after that first race, I knew, okay, me driving this car, you know, I have a good shot of, you know, chasing a championship this year. And then going into this race, you know, I had a strategy and we executed it perfectly. And now I got first this race, and now I'm running first in points overall.
Well, I know with the four-seaters, too, and I've told people this, and it was funny because we were out testing, and I threw Mia Chapman in the car with me, and she's like you. She'd never driven anything but a two-seater. And she jumped in the co-driver's seat with me when we were out testing, and she's like, holy crap. And I'm like, the thing people don't understand is, like, you know, a two-seater is a razor. And when you race it, you're racing a razor. And I feel like when you race a four-seater in the desert, at least, when you race a four-seater, it doesn't act like a razor. It acts like a race car. And there's a difference there. And it's hard to explain until you've experienced it. But I feel like you're experiencing the same thing I kind of feel in regards to four-seaters in the desert. It's a different feel, you know?
It is a completely different feel. I mean, from going to the two-seat to the four-seat, I'm not checking up for any bumps, really. I'm like, nothing really phases the car just because you have that longer wheelbase. You could take corners completely different. I mean, I'm already sideways going into the corner, which improves my time. I'm making up seconds now that I was losing before. So really just that four-seat chassis is what you need in the desert. It may be a little bit heavier than the two-seater, but in the long run, you're saving so much time in all of the rough stuff, in all of the big bumps, you know, that the two seat would have to check up for.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be interesting too, you know, with the Pro XPs now coming into their own. I know Randy Romo's got one, Seth, Mitch Guthrie's got one, you know, and the Pro XPs seem like they're doing really well. And it's that lengthened two seat. So I'm kind of wondering if that might be, you know, one of the hot tickets as well. And I haven't had the chance to drive one in the desert yet. So it's going to be kind of interesting, but I definitely think that wheelbase, you know, makes a difference in the desert going from, you know, just the traditional two seat like you used to race.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. That new Pro XP that just came out it's the money right there.
Yeah. So all this being said, let's talk about how you got started, because your dad's been around the industry for a long time, very well respected in the industry. And four or five years back, you kind of got started. I know you and your dad were racing together, kind of tag teaming some things. Kind of give us the lowdown on how you got started. I mean, I know you've done King of the Hammers. I mean, you're probably one of the youngest drivers ever at King of the Hammers. I don't know the actual record, but I got to think you've got to be factored into that. I mean, give us a lowdown on your background.
Yeah. Yeah, I was 14 when I did my first King of the Hammers, and yep, I was the youngest person. I don't know if anyone younger has done it since then, but yes, it was a little crazy doing that race at 14 years old. But no, I grew up in the industry, obviously, with my dad, who used to own PRP seats. I would always go to races with him and the events, and we were in the desert pretty much every weekend. You know, my grandparents go off-roading. All of my family goes off-roading. We do it for fun. So just kind of growing up, going to the desert and going to the races with my dad and all the shows, I always wanted to race. And luckily, back in 2015, I was bothering my dad so much about doing one. We actually raced a little Razor 900 in the 1000 class. And I fell in love with it. It was awesome. Me driving and then my dad in the passenger seat. We did that for an entire season. And, you know, my dad didn't want to put me in the 900 class because there wasn't that many people. He wanted to put me against faster people so it would make me faster and I would have real competition and whatnot. So we did the first season in a small little series in California City, and we did great. I mean, we were winning, you know, we were on the podium every single time. And then we got the opportunity to race Vegas to Reno. So I raced Vegas to Reno when I turned 15. And I started dead last out of everyone. And we ended up taking a fifth place home, my first real pro race I've ever done.
That's awesome.
And then I kind of, yeah, I fell in love with it. And I just wanted to be at that level. I mean, I knew I wasn't the fastest at the time. There were people who have been driving, you know, more years than I've been alive at the time. So I knew I wasn't the fastest, but putting yourself up against people who are faster than you makes you faster and makes you strive to be faster. And when you're behind them and you're watching what they're doing, you know, you pick up on that and you learn, and then you improve so much from that. So I'm glad that I just kind of, after one season of racing, got thrown into Best in the Desert in the Pro NA class, because since then, I have learned so much, and I'm a completely different driver than how I was when I first went into it.
All right, we got to take a short commercial break, but trust me, we got a whole lot more with Maddie when we return here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP Advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at gspxtv.com today.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing. So why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Got my good friend and Polaris Razor teammate and winner of the Legacy Racing Association, Baja Nevada, the longest off-road race in the United States, Maddie Wedeking on the show. So, Maddie, well, you're also part of this movement. I know you and I were texting on this over the weekend. I kind of want to talk on it a little bit, but, you know, we've got this, I think it's amazing. We've got this crop of, you know, of women drivers, young women drivers that are coming up. And I mean, you and Sierra, Mia Chapman, Shelby Anderson that are just slaying it, you know, but you guys are coming in and doing battle with the guys. And I know, you know, you talk to any of you and you go, no, we're not girl racers, we're just racers. But, you know, how's it feel to be a part of this movement, you know what I mean, where women are created as equals in this industry, you know, and you guys are on the same playing field as the guys and like we saw this weekend, you know, kicking the guys' butts.
Yeah, I love it, you know. I love when little girls come up to me and they say they want to get into racing. I just love the fact that females are trying to get more involved in the sport. I mean, when I put on the helmet, I feel like I'm just another driver. And that's how it is with Sierra. That's how it is with Mia as well. Like, you know, when we put on our helmets, we're another racer out there. Doesn't matter if we're a boy, doesn't matter if we're a girl, you know, we're going out there and our skill set is there to run with the guys. And I just love the fact that more girls are getting into the sport. I'm 100% supportive over all of them. I have, you know, quite a few girls that are just getting into racing and, you know, they're asking, can I hop in the car with you? Can I go to a test day? Can you teach me how to drive this? You know, just asking me, I mean, just normal questions about racing. You know, how do you do this in the car? What do you even eat in the car? How do I prep, you know, the week of the race? 2 weeks before the race, you know, I just love helping. I mean, pretty much anyone, a female, a male, I don't care. I just want to help people get more involved in the sport.
Well, and I think the cool thing is Razor's been like a really big gateway, not only for women, but like you said, is kids and everything. They've got this platform where you start at a 170, move up to a 570, move into an RS1 or 1000. And there's this great ladder system. So no matter what your age, there's always something there for somebody to get involved in that can meet your level of experience, you know?
Yeah, and I actually did not grow up racing a 170 or a 570, any of that. But watching all, you know, the kids like Casey Sims, Caden Danbury, Ethan Groom, all these kids that started racing when they were super young and now have worked their way up to, you know, now they're all in 1000s or turbo cars. I mean, they are killing it. They're learning so much. And it's awesome that Polaris has created such a big platform to where really any age can get out there and drive.
Yeah, completely agree. So all that being said, obviously we got a little bit of downtime. I guess what's the rest of this year look like for your race program?
So since we are first in points for Legacy, I will be continuing to run for the Legacy Championship this year. So we have two more races for Legacy. And then I will be doing the MIT 400 and UTV World Championships this year as well.
Oh, wow. You're loading up with a couple of heavy hitters there, too, at the end of the year. So you got a packed schedule from here on out then.
Yeah. The beginning of this year was a little bit mellow. But, I mean, from here on out, it's pedal to the metal. We will be, you know, racing full force, testing. It's going to be a crazy end of the year for sure.
Yeah. So looking at next year, obviously we know you'll be in the desert, but any plans to put a Hammers program together? Obviously you got some experience at KOH.
You know what? That's up in the air. I love racing King of the Hammers. It's probably my favorite race of the year just because the skill set behind it is amazing. And, you know, there's so many different lines out there and the competition is amazing. So I would leave that one up in the air. I want to race King of the Hammers, but we'll see if I can make it work for next year.
Well, I got a brand new Hammers car that's done and we're going to race it this year. And I didn't get to do it because we bought this new race car, but I'm going to be a total rookie going to the King of the Hammers. So are you available for coaching?
I got you. I will coach you.
'Cause I'm going to need a whole lot of help, Maddie.
Yeah, it's fine. Just pick a line and go for it. Worst case, you know, when in doubt, winch it out. That's what I tell everyone.
Yeah, there's probably going to be a whole lot of winching on my end. Let's put it that way. Oh, man.
I'll go out before and free run with you and show you some good trails that'll help you.
Yeah, you know, and I honestly, that's one of my favorite things about, well, not just Johnson Valley and Hammers, but off-road in general. It's like, I know me, and it sounds like you're the same way. Like, yeah, we race, but on the weekends I'm not racing, especially in the wintertime when in the Southwest the weather's great. But I'm not racing. I got the RV and the Razor out in the desert, and, you know, and I'm out just pre-running, having fun, hitting things up. And I think that's what's cool about Razor is that people like you and I, it's not just a racing thing. This is when we're not in the race car, we're in our Razor and we're out just living the lifestyle and having a good time with our friends.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we have everyone in my family. I have a little sister. She has a Razor. I have my own Razor. My mom and my dad have their Razors. And it's just awesome because, you know, on a weekend when I'm not racing or prepping for a race, you know, we go out to the desert and we'll go on one big family ride. My grandparents will go with us and, you know, my aunts and my uncles will go. I love it. You know, they've created such a platform to where we can just, you know, load up our cars and go. And we trust that, you know, we won't break. We won't be stranded out there. It's awesome. I'm really thankful for the platform that they've provided.
Yeah, so long term, I guess closing out this interview, I mean, you know, obviously you got a great race program going this year, and obviously we're going to see you in UTVs for the next couple of years. But, I mean, long term, any prospects? If Maddie could pick anywhere to be in, say, 5-6 years with her race career, where would that be?
I mean, obviously, like everyone else, I would want to be in a trophy truck. that's the ultimate goal. But I am so happy with racing Polaris that I don't want to really leave anytime soon. I mean, if anything, I want to step up to the turbo class. I'm fighting this year for a Pro NA championship, and then I'm hoping, you know, in the next couple of years I'll move up to the turbo class and see where that takes me.
Yeah, have you ever had an itch to try some short course stuff?
Actually, I have. I bought a old works car, and I actually did not like it that much. I got really bored.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the aspect of going fast, like really fast for 15 minutes, and then it drains you. But, I mean, there's something about desert racing where you're out there in the middle of nowhere. It's a fair game. Everyone is, you know, on the same exact course as you, and it's, you know, 250 miles, 500 miles, or like this past weekend, 630 miles, and you don't see the same turn twice.
Yeah, I will agree with you on that. I've done some short course stuff with Terracross. I did that for like 2-3 years, and I was traveling around the country, and it is a different concept. Like, I'm used to being in the car for 6-8 hours at a time, and you go there and it's like, all right, so you go and they give you 1 5-minute qualifying session or like a 5-minute practice session or something. So you go out there, you burn a couple laps, and then you go and sit, and you sit for 3 or 4 hours. Then you go out there and you qualify and you get like 2 laps, and then you sit there and you wait, and then the main event rolls around, might be the next day, and you go and you race for 15 minutes and you're done. And I'm like, this is a whole lot of travel and a whole lot of hurry up and wait for being in the car for maybe 20, 25 minutes for the whole weekend, you know?
I agree with you. And I enjoy racing so much that I want to be in the car as long as I can. Like, I enjoyed every minute, every mile of the 630 miles that we did this past weekend. I love racing. It's a passion for me. So I want to be in the car as long as I can. And so short course, being in the car for, 15, 20 minutes, for me, I just want to be in the car longer.
Yeah. I am on the same page there with you, but I guess we got to wrap this thing up, Maddie, but been a pleasure having you on the show. I know I'm sure we'll see you either at a Razor event or one of the races here pretty quick.
Yes, for sure. Thank you for having me.
Oh, man, what a great interview. What a great kid. Finding her way in the off-road industry, completely just shredding it. Big props to her on her first major victory there with Baja Nevada. Did something I couldn't do, that's for sure. You guys should definitely go follow her on social media. Maddie Wedeking, definitely worth the follow. Watch this young girl. She is definitely one of the future stars of the off-road industry and Polaris Razor athlete. And, this kid is just killing it. Definitely, definitely one to watch. Like I said, I mean, she's part of that women's movement in off-road and desert racing, all in that kind of younger age. And you hate to say Shelby Anderson almost aging out of there, but I throw Shelby, Maddie, Mia Chapman, and Sierra Romo kind of into this mix of just girls absolutely killing it. I don't want to isolate because there's a lot of girls that are really coming in. But to me, those are kind of your four standouts that are really just absolutely shredding it right now. And like I said, not taking anything away from all the other girls that are out there. But to me, those are kind of your big four right now. She's definitely one. What do we want to call them? The four horsewomen. Let's coin that term. Your four horsewomen right there. We got Maddie, Sierra, Shelby, and Mia. We're going to call them the four horsewomen. But a whole lot more to come on the show. We got Michelle Abate coming up after this on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome a very good friend of mine, Michelle Abate, to the line, who's got some massive news, and it's just been a damn long time since we've caught up, Michelle, but welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I think it's been, gosh, I don't know, maybe over a year at least or more. I can't remember, but it's good to hear your voice again.
Yeah, same to you. Hopefully everything's good with you and your husband. I think last time we caught up might have been right around the time you got your new Trans Am car. And I'm trying to think, what was that? It's been a while. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that was probably back in 2018 or 2019, around then. So it's been a while.
Yeah, it's definitely been a while, but we definitely have that to talk about. But I guess before we jump into even talking about that, we got to talk about this weekend because you have, I don't know, you're going NASCAR racing. I mean, this is huge, and obviously on a road course, so you're kind of a ringer.
Yeah, no, this is so cool. I've been working towards it since NASCAR announced last year they were going to go to COTA for the first time. I was like, oh, what an opportunity that would be to get that done. And so I've been just grinding so hard for the last, I don't even know, maybe 6 or 7 months. And to be completely honest, I was at my wit's end, and I was kind of just reaching out to anybody I knew in the industry to try to make it happen. But lo and behold, a good partner of mine, Skosh, who's been on board with me for the last 6 years, really contributed big time to the effort. And then also one of my newest partners, Ghost Energy and Ghost Lifestyle, which is a supplement company, actually came on board as well and made this happen. And I'm just kind of like, I feel like I'm dreaming. It's like, pinch me. Is this really happening?
Well, I mean, this is big. And I laugh because we got to talk about you, because you're one of my favorite people to have on air, because you're like me. Like, you are a total blue collar racer, live and die by your partnerships. You're always hustling. You're looking for an angle. I mean, you wanted to go Trans Am racing. You guys, didn't you mortgage your house to go Trans Am racing? I mean, when there's a will, there's a way, and Michelle figures it out, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's just, I'm just so lucky to have so much, you know, great support behind me. And from like a friend's standpoint, not a family money background standpoint, it's actually kind of the opposite. So it's just such an honor to show that you can actually, you know, you can follow your dreams and make it happen. It's just a lot of work, a lot of dedication and perseverance. And, you know, there's struggles, but then there's times where, you know, those struggles make the good times that great. And I'm just so excited.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you're racing, because you're racing a NASCAR truck, which I think this whole thing's interesting. Obviously, you're a road course racer. You know what I mean? That's what you're known for. I mean, we've seen you, you know, jump into some UTVs and do some stuff like that. You know, I think I had you up at Dirtfish Rally School a few years ago. But, I mean, you are a road course racer. I mean, how different is this NASCAR truck than, say, the Trans Am car you're normally racing? Obviously, I got to think it's a bit heavier. But, I mean, you know, have you had any seat time behind the truck yet? Obviously, I know there's some practice sessions and things like that. But what's the biggest differences in this thing?
You know, yeah, great question. Never driven a truck. I won't drive it until practice on Friday. And I did get on the simulator at On Point Motorsports, and they've got a really awesome SimCraft simulator there with, like, you know, the full get up and the Kirky seats in there and everything. But from what I could tell from the simulator, yeah, it's a lot heavier, actually. I think it's about, I want to see, they said like 3,400 pounds or 3,500 pounds, somewhere like that. And it's got about 200 more horsepower than my Trans Am car. So a little bit more horsepower, but with the weight there, I think it's going to just take a little bit more just patience to get through the corners. And, you know, there's 20 of them at COTA. So the guys that haven't been there before, there's a lot to take on. And I'll be learning the truck while they're learning the track. And I think there couldn't be a better opportunity to try to, you know, make my debut in NASCAR and see how we go.
Yeah, I think this is, this is just such a rad story. And I think, especially with a truck, you know, the biggest, you know, you're talking about horsepower and weight and, like, you know, the track, but I mean, obviously your brake points, things like that are going to change. So it's probably just, you know, kind of working through those little nuances and figuring those out. Cause you've got preset in your head where Trans Am car, you've been braking and doing things like that, right? It's probably just to just kind of reset a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I usually do pretty good with like jumping into new cars and trying to, you know, adapt pretty quickly. So thankfully I have that on my side. But yeah, man, the NASCAR truck is a different animal. It's a lot of horsepower. They're really big. I mean, I sat in it the first time Monday, which was just a couple days ago. And just being in the truck is just like, I feel like I'm in like a boat. It's so big compared to my Trans Am car, I wasn't expecting that at all. But I think once I get on track, that all that stuff kind of goes away and just focus, you know, focused forward and you know, just kind of let the track come to you and get comfortable.
Yeah. You had anybody you're calling that's, you know, that's driven trucks, things like that? I mean, got anybody you can rely on that's got good data or some information on how you should approach this thing?
Yeah. So actually the team works closely with Scott Lagacy, who races in Trans Am, who I know. And so Scott was kind of telling them what to expect from me and vice versa. And yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of friends in the industry and the trucks, you know, are mostly around on circles, and they're very different than the car on circle track as well. Like the guys get the air taken away from them, so they don't have the downforce and all that. But
All in all, it's just going to be kind of an on the fly, learn as you go type, you know, type situation. But even still, I'm so excited to get out there.
Yeah, this is awesome. So obviously, I know. Let's talk a little bit about this year. I know Lucas Oil came on board pretty big with your program this year. You know, they helped you know, kind of fund your effort in Trans Am. How's this year going so far for you?
Yeah, so super, super stoked to have Lucas Oil on board. Pretty much, yeah, they're our title sponsor this year, and this year just got kicked off last month, I think. We're already three rounds in. My performance has been really great, but on paper it doesn't look awesome. So our first time out, round one, was at Sonoma, and I got a top five finish, which was good. It was kind of wet conditions, which I do enjoy racing in the rain. So I'm hoping for rain in Austin this weekend. So we'll see how that goes. But and then unfortunately, the second round was at Laguna Seca, where I had a spindle break. So that actually took me out of the race. I only completed 12 laps. And so we finished like 14th out of, I don't know, like 17 or something like that. So that kind of hurt us. And then this last weekend, I had my best qualifier. I qualified third. And was doing very, very well in the race, but got a little loose. I ended up spinning, and I went off track. And if you've ever been to Thunder Hill, you know it's all, like, dead grass out there. And as soon as I hit the grass, the grass actually caught on fire around me. And so I was, like, stuck on a berm, and they had to tow me out. And I was down, like, seven laps by the time they got me back to the hot pits. I got back out, and there was still, like, 45 minutes remaining at the race. And I ended up turning some of the most consistent laps. I got through the entire field and kind of checked out from away from the leaders and everything, but I made it about a lap and a half, but I still finished like ninth out of 15, I think. So, but unfortunately a little bit of bad luck this year so far, but we've got four more races left. So I think we've got, you know, enough chances to hopefully get back up there in points and maybe chase the championship.
Yeah, I know, you know, the Trans Am thing, you said, you know, when I first talked with you, it's a bit of a transition, but you feel like you're finally, you know, a couple years in, kind of really starting to hit your stride.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be completely honest, the last two races, I have learned so much about driving the car and how to be faster. And that just gives me so much more confidence going into, you know, the NASCAR truck, just the whole tube chassis V8, you know, kind of big burly cars. You do have to drive them differently. As you know, I come from a sports car kind of racing background, production car, road racing background. And, you know, these cars just handle so much differently. They don't really slow down that well. And you've just got to be very smooth. And even though they have a lot of horsepower, they're still kind of like a momentum car. And so, absolutely, I have never been more confident in my car. And I think that'll help me going into the weekend, too.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously going to Circuit of Americas, you're familiar with that. You know, let's say you get a pretty good result. I mean, is NASCAR, obviously this is a road course, you know, but is this something you're looking at, like possibly as a next step for Michelle, is making a transition into one of the NASCAR series potentially?
Actually, yeah, that's kind of where this is going. If you would have talked to me 2-3 years ago, I probably wouldn't have expected me to answer this question in the way I'm going to. But no, I think, you know, NASCAR is adding more road courses to all of their schedules, yeah, whether it be Cup or Xfinity or, you know, the Truck Series. And I love road racing. I have a little bit of circle track background. I did race in 2015. I was in the NASCAR All-American Wheeling Series at Irwindale Speedway. And I have a little bit of circle track experience, but I definitely would have a lot to learn in that circumstance. But I'm hoping that if I do well this weekend, maybe I'll, you know, turn some heads and get some more opportunities to expand my, you know, experience and discipline into circle track, because, you know, it's growing and it's just another avenue for me to kind of further my driving career in NASCAR. I mean, there's nothing really bigger than that right now. So I would love to.
Yeah. Well, you know, and honestly, like you'd mentioned, NASCAR really is expanding the road course. And I think this is something that fans have wanted and things like that. And, you know, it definitely a good showing here. It gives you opportunity, you know, not only, you know, to run some of the oval stuff, but, you know, just looking top to bottom across all the divisions, you know, everybody's got road courses. You know, you've seen a lot of drivers, you know, who are successful in road racing, you know, get opportunities, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a year in the various NASCAR series just to come in as, you know, as a road course specialist and try and, you know, get some top tens and things like that. So, you know, there's definitely, this has got me pretty excited for you, Michelle. You know, this is a big weekend, not to put any pressure on you, but you got to be pretty damn excited to be going to Circuit of the Americas.
Yeah, no, I'm still kind of beyond myself about it all. And I'm glad I have the experience of racing with, you know, 40 car fields with Trans Am. I mean, that's something I don't have to worry about. I don't have to worry about, you know, banging doors or drafting or any of that stuff. I've done it all. So it's just kind of like this perfect storm of just bringing all together on one of the biggest stages of racing in America. And I think that, you know, I've got everything going for me that could be going for me. So if it could just rain, that would be even better, because I love the rain. I capitalize in the rain, and it's such a good equalizer. So we'll see. You know, no one can control the weather, and no one can predict it. But hopefully, if I could be out there in the rain, I would be in my place for sure.
Yeah, you're like literally the only driver going out there going, I hope it rains, because all of a sudden it starts raining, Michelle. You're doing like, you're so throwing high fives and getting pumped in the car, just knowing like the rain, if there was ever an equalizer, man, that puts you literally a step above everybody else, right?
Yeah, I don't know why. I never knew I'd like, you know, enjoy racing in the rain. The first time I raced in the rain, I was on track. I'll never forget. I was only like 17, and it was just like a time attack event. It was at Sonoma. I had never been there. And, you know, I'm out there and I'm like, man, this sucks. Like, I'm just going so slow everywhere, you know, and I'm just feeling like a snail out there, and having it be a time attack event. You know, I came in and my name was at the top of the chart, and I'm like, there's no way that I'm the fastest person out there. And everybody's like, how are you going so fast? And I'm like, I was going slow. Like, I don't know. I just went slow everywhere, you know, and ever since that event, every time it's rained, I've always done well. I got my very first Trans Am podium in the rain. That was last year, and I was on slicks, and the guys in front of me, they actually came in, they changed their tires, put rain tires on, and they ended up coming from the back and just kind of they both picked me off. But I mean, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's just a little bit more of a mental game, I think, when you race in the rain, and you have to have a lot of patience, and it's hard, but I've always done really well in the rain. So it's just one of those things that I kind of keep in my back pocket. And then when people started talking about the weather for this weekend, I was like, are you serious? I was like, that would be amazing. So we'll see.
Well, I will definitely be hoping for rain for you. Before we wrap up, obviously, Circuit of the Americas this weekend, you're going to be running a NASCAR truck. You know, after this weekend, what's next for you, Michelle?
After this weekend, I got about 2 weekends off, and then we will head straight back into the Trans Am Series, which the series will be making, I believe, its debut at the Ridge up in Washington. So we'll be up in Shelton, Washington for our 100-mile race up there. And then, I don't have very much of a break. The Trans Am Series is pretty condensed. But yeah, I'm just gunning for that championship. I'm in a hard position right now, but it's not over. You know what I mean? Anything can happen, and that's what I love about racing is it's not predictable.
Yeah, definitely not predictable. Well, here's hoping for a little rain this weekend and a whole lot of success, Michelle. I will definitely be tuned into the race, and I'm hoping we just get to have you back next week because you did something really awesome in the race, and we just make it back-to-back.
I hope so. I appreciate it, Jim. I appreciate you having me on, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
And we'll be back after this on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
And we are here to close things out. What a show today on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Racer. Big, massive thanks to Ed Carpenter, Michelle Abate, and Maddie Wedeking on the show. Our guests, thanks to everybody behind the scenes that makes things click. I got to give a shout out to my team. A lot of you guys don't hear about them much, but I got Brittany Cardone, Matt Kalish, and Chris Leone, who continue to just slay it for JB15. So thanks to them. Thanks to all of our guests this week, all of our amazing partners: General Tire, Polaris Razor, Vision Wheel, Rigid Industries, Dirtfish, Optimus, iRacing, our good friends at Fistful of Bourbon. Yes, go and get your drink on. GSPX TV Axles. We got some amazing partners in the show. Couldn't we do it without any of them. You know, thanks to all of you listeners who kept us in business for 10 years. You know, this little show that nobody thought would work and get past episode number 2, 10 years strong. We are right here, and I couldn't do it without you listeners. That's for damn sure. But yes, IndyCar, you know, we got qualifying this weekend, got Monaco Grand Prix going on. I'm going to be tuned into that. We got a lot of stuff happening in the world of motorsports. I am at JimBeaver15 on social media. Give me a follow. If you're looking for that coupon code at Dirtfish, it is JimBeaver15. That'll get you 15% off at Dirtfish Rally School. And yeah, I don't know. What else do we got this week? I'm floundering here. I am floundering. But big thanks to all of our guests again, and big shout out to all the winners this past weekend at the Baja Nevada. We'll see you next time right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Have a great week and an even better weekend.